5 we'll be focusing on today. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 12 of Romans 5. It says, Romans 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, in over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Once again, we thank you that we can congregate together and have fellowship around it, Lord. We just pray you'd illuminate our understanding of today. Help us to see what you desire to show unto us, and that we would make it a part of our lives, Lord. We just pray your blessing upon this time together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been going through Romans in my personal devotional time, it's been a blessing. There's been understanding a few things a little bit more, appreciating some other things a bit more, and I realize that as I go through it, there's still a lot more that I don't understand. But there's a few things in the time that I've gone through it that the Lord's kind of illuminated, kind of brought out, and I wanted to share some of these things with you, and I trust that they'll be an edification for you. In some ways, what we go through today and what we will go through in the next few weeks, is, it might come across as being something that's simple, that we've gone over the basics, that we've seen this before, but it's something that I think we recognize that as humans, we're quick to forget, we're quick to lose sight of things, and we want to kind of get a renewed appreciation of things. They're precious truths. They don't get tired by the hearing of them. And I think we recognize, too, that often in the Christian life, we get really bogged down with just kind of the things of life, the challenges of life, that sometimes we can forget kind of the basics of our Christian life. We can lose our bearings, and we need to get back to them so that we can carry on in faith as we desire. It was interesting, on our trip out to Edmonton and back, we have these different story CDs that we've gotten, and one was on the story of Ernest Shackleton and his men, that they were going to have an expedition across the Antarctic continent, and it ended up, what happened is that they made their way down, but their ship got caught and crushed in the ice, and so then they had to find a way to get back to civilization as winter hit. And it was interesting, what happened is they got to this little island called Elephant Island, him and his men, but they knew they couldn't stay there. They had to go get help because no one was ever going to go by Elephant Island. There was no reason for them to do so. And so he and five other men took one of the lifeboats 800 miles over some of the most treacherous oceans that this world has to get to this little island where there was a whaling station, that they knew that was their only hope of rescue. And through that, It wasn't like they had GPS back then that they could just kind of see, okay, well, this is where I am, this is how far I have to go. For them to find their way, they had to use a sextant and a compass. And that you, with a sextant, basically, you can figure out by where the sun is in the sky, that you can get, you can navigate from that. You can figure out exactly where you are on the planet. And so they navigate by the sun or by the stars. But the thing is, when it's storming and when you're going up and down on all these waves, how do you even get an accurate reading? And it seemed with the one fellow who was in charge of that, Frank Worsley, that there was only probably maybe three or four times in that whole 800-mile journey that he could get a reading. And sometimes it was just the clouds broke for a second and the guys actually had to kind of hold him and keep him steady while he got a reading. And he knew that if he was even a degree off, that they were going to miss hitting that island. But yet they made it just out of those five bearings that he was able to take. And it's something that we want to think of that in our lives, that we get into different challenges, we get different storms that happen to our life, and it's easy for us to lose track of where we're headed, where we're going. And that's why we get into the Word, that we get our bearings back. We get that time as we study the Word of God. We get in prayer, and the Lord illuminates things to us once again. And so that we can look at our course and say, okay, I need to adjust this and get back on the track that I want and get to the destination that God desires for us. And so I hope that this can be kind of a blessing for you in that, because we always need to regain our bearings at different times in our life. I hope as well that it's going to be something that's intensely practical to you, because we recognize that true Christianity is not a philosophy, but a way of life. It's not just what we believe, but how we live what we believe that makes a difference. I was just reading a bit in my devotions as well from The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And speaking of the Christian, he says, all his beliefs are practical. They are geared into his life. By them he lives or dies, stands or falls, for this world and for all time to come. And that's what we recognize, that all that we believe, that it's for a purpose. It's not so that we can beat someone on Bible trivia or anything like that. But it's practical. We want to be helped by it. And so as I've been going through Romans, there's been different words, different concepts that have kind of stood out. And the one that for this week you want to deal with is the concept of the gift of God. The different places it comes up, and we see in this passage where it speaks of this free gift. And throughout Romans and other places of the Scriptures, it speaks of this gift of God. And so we want to ask, well, what do the Scriptures say that it is, and what does it mean to us? In defining the gift, we recognize, as we spoke of last week, that everything we have is a gift from God. That it comes from above for a blessing and enjoyment. It's part of His grace and mercy. But in the Scriptures we see reference to something which is specifically the gift of God. That's distinct from these and it's greater than all the others. We see 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. It says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. And when it says unspeakable gift, it doesn't mean, well, that gift that He's given us is something that's a secret that we can't talk about or anything like that. What it's given the sense of is that it's so wonderful, it's so glorious, that it, no matter how much we would try to describe it, that we can't describe it in full. That it's unspeakable. It speaks, 1 Peter 1 verse 8, that we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, that it's beyond what we can expect. The half has not been told. And so if we were to say, well, what is the gift of God? We see that in Romans 6 verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That gift of His Son, the gift that provided eternal life. When Jesus was with the woman of Samaria, that he asked of her water, and she asked, well, why are you asking me? You're a Jew and you don't have anything to do with Samaritans. He said, well, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks of thee, you'd ask of Him and He would give thee living water. And that's what we understand, that He is the gift of God, and what He provides is that living water, that water of life. And we see in this passage in Romans chapter 5, it gives some delineation, some understanding of this gift. That we see that it is, verse 15, it speaks of the free gift, that it is the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, that hath abounded unto many. It is from Him, that it is not something we deserve, that is something that is provided unto Jesus, but is abounded unto many people. It's not just to be received by one, but by many. And we see given here a comparison and a contrast between the offense of the first Adam and the gift provided by Christ, who we know to be called the last Adam in other places. That Adam was guilty of one offense, and it brought condemnation. Verse 12, was by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That we understand that idea of condemnation, that if you do something wrong, there's a condemnation. We think in when we're driving, if we go over the speed limit, or if we don't follow different rules, we have the rule nowadays, if you're talking on your cell phone or texting while you're driving, that you can get you can get condemnation, you can get a fine. When we're in Alberta, they actually have it's something that we kind of complain about our law, but in Alberta they got this other law that you can't even like comb your hair or anything like that, that they'll fine you for that if they catch you. And so, but there's different condemnation for that. You think of sports, that if you do something that's against the rules, that you're going to get a penalty. And it'll affect your team. You'll have to spend time in the penalty box if it's in hockey or other things. And so there was an offense committed, and there was condemnation. But we see the difference, or the comparison, that the free gift, that it was of many offenses, and yet there was justification. We see, how is that possible, that people would sin many times, yet they're justified, if one man who sinned once brought condemnation upon the whole world? And justification, we understand to be the idea that it's just as if one has never sinned, that one is made righteous. That it wasn't that they were righteous, but that they're made righteous, justified. And we wonder, well, how is that possible? And we see that it is through the gift of righteousness that is provided by Jesus Christ. That with Adam, the offense of one brought judgment of all upon all men, but the righteousness of one, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, brought the free gift upon all men unto the justification of life. That the wages of sin is death, that all of us have sinned, but yet we see that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that He died, He paid the penalty, and His righteousness is put on our account, that we are made righteous before a holy God and can have eternal life forever in heaven with Him. That is what we could say to be the gift of God, is eternal life through the Lord, and how it's happened, that we can be made clean who are sinners and have a home with Him forever in heaven. And I think we, even though we recognize that is, as the Scripture says, it is an unspeakable gift, I think it's good for us to dwell just a bit on the greatness of the gift that has been given unto us. That certainly we're never going to be able to fully express how wonderful it is, but I think it's valuable for us to get just at least a glimpse of how great that it is. The fact of the gift of His Son, that the Lord gave us His best, that He gave us His only begotten Son, that He would not withhold Him from us, His very best, that He would be willing to do that. This one that was perfect, this one who knew no sin, that He became sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That it is something that we think about, that and the greatness that comes with that. But we think as well with the gift of God of eternal life, of how there's so much that we have received because of that. That we recognize, of course, that it's passing from death into life, being delivered from hell, being able to spend eternity in heaven. And that alone is something to rejoice in. But we think of so much of the other things that it provides, of the idea of forgiveness, that we don't have to keep thinking about and feel guilty about things, and it's under the blood. It's to be remembered no more. The cleansing that we have, the new life that He's given us, the new nature that's placed within us. He's given us a new direction. We're part of a new family. We're adopted by the God of heaven and earth, and we're His children. We're called His children and His heirs, that we have an inheritance awaiting for us in heaven. And the Bible speaks that He has given us the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment of what we are to receive later on in heaven, and that down payment is the Holy Spirit that He has given us when we're saved, that upon salvation that we're given of His Holy Spirit. We have His presence with us throughout every day, His guidance, His strength, it speaks in Romans 5 verse 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is within us. And just the glorious in that we think of having God within us, and that is just the down payment of what we are to receive. We realize how great it is, this gift that He has given. It is something that we want to rejoice and be so thankful for. But we want to recognize, as we just contemplate of how glorious and how great the gift is, we recognize that it is, the gift of God is not something that we can earn. From the passage here, we see that it is not something that we can earn, that God didn't come and die for us because we were good. It says, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That we see that it was not something that we earned at all, that it was all of His grace. It is the gift of grace. And we see in the passage that we read that is referred to as the free gift. We realize that it was not free to God, that it cost Him His very best to give it unto us. But it is not something that any of us can buy, any of us can purchase. It cannot be earned. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I think when we truly realize and we get a picture of the greatness of the gift, we realize at the same time that it's beyond any capacity to be ever able to pay for. There's no amount of good works that we could do that we don't get the full realization of the gift until eternity. But it's if we simply do the math, and if I say, well, if I, because we think, and many think sometimes, well, if I do all these things, I can obtain eternal life myself. But when we see the greatness of the gift, we do the math and we realize no matter of how long I lived in my life, there'd be no way I could pay for all this greatness of this gift that the God has given. And to try to do so, and we know that there's many that try to earn the gift of eternal life, but to do so essentially is to diminish the value of the gift and essentially to insult the one that's giving it. Say that you had a friend, a rich friend that was very benevolent, that really wanted to be a blessing to you, and they come to you and say, "Well, I've bought you a house, and I've furnished it. It's all ready for you. The paperwork's all ready. All we have to do is transfer the title." And you would say, "Well, you can't do that. I want to pay for it. Here's $20. That how would that work? How would that, what would that person feel, that compared to the gift that has been given, compared to what that person gave to secure that for you, we understand that that would not be acceptable. And that's what we sometimes try to do. We think, well, with my good works that I try to do, that will pay for the gift. But we realize it's not going to. Sometimes we kind of think, well, maybe if I kind of get on a payment plan that sort of through my whole life I try to keep doing good, that eventually I'll pay it off. But we realize that it's too big for us to do that. And the fact is we won't be able to pay it. We really won't be able to pay what we could say would be the interest on the debt that we owe the Lord. And something we recognize too, the Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That for us there's things that we could do and we think, well, this is going to advance me in the column to paying it back, but actually we find it's putting us further in the hole because it's not what God claims shows to be righteous. That the bulk of our repayments would actually put us further away from paying the debt. And that's what we see from the scriptures, that it's a free gift, that it cannot be earned. That he speaks to us and says, if you could earn it, why would have I had to send my son in the first place? That if you could do it by all these good works, it wouldn't have been necessary. And that was the whole idea of the law that it was given. It was not so people could try to keep it. It was to show them, well, you can't keep it. You're condemned. And you need someone to come and pay for your sins and bring your righteousness. And so we understand with this greatness of this gift that we cannot earn it. We must receive it by faith. That it is the grace of God that has brought it unto us, that we do not deserve it, and we receive it by faith. We see in Romans 3 in verse 22, it speaks of the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all of us are sinners, that it is through belief in Him that we come and to accept Him as Savior, that we recognize from the Scriptures that faith is not a work, that it's delineated in Romans chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And that's what we see, that we accept it. We receive that gift, that any kind of gift that someone gives us, we cannot earn it, we cannot try to purchase it off of them, that we must receive it by faith. That where we are drawn by the Spirit through His Word, that He shows us the truths of the Scriptures, we recognize and understand the greatness of the gift, we acknowledge the greatness of our need for it, we come to the Lord in repentance and faith, and we receive that gift by faith. That the Philippian jailer, that he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That we believe and we receive. That it's so simple, and yet we realize so often we make it so complicated. That we think, well, I have faith, but then I have to kind of add works. That if I don't do works, that he's going to take the gift back. But that's not going to happen. That He's given us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that eternal life starts upon the moment of salvation. It isn't kind of if you make it through life and you do right, then you're going to get it at the end. It starts right now. And we see that John 10, verse 28, the Lord says, of his sheep, says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 5 and verse, can't seem to find it here. But there's a verse that says that so believeth on the Son shall not condemn, hath eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. But that's what happens upon a moment of our salvation. So if we understand that we, once we're saved, that we're always saved, that we cannot lose our salvation, we could say, well, does that mean as a Christian that I should just go back to whatever I did before, that I should just kind of live a life and it's not going to matter what I do? And I think that we want to realize, as we look at the greatness of the gift, that if we have received this gift, that it's something that we need to enjoy and appreciate. That you think of it at Christmas time, that all of us remember the times when we get a stocking full of a bunch of different gifts. And I know with us, usually there was always, you couldn't fit everything in, there was always something kind of peeking out over the top, and it would kind of know that there was more to come, but there was something there. And imagine for a child to go and to get their stocking and to pull that one thing that's showing out of the top and open it and say, oh wow, this is great, but then to just kind of put the rest of the stocking aside and not even open the rest of it. We say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Should not be the way it is. And I think we recognize that that's kind of what happened with a lot of new believers, is that they see the promise of eternal life peeking out of the top of the stocking and they get that and excited about it. But we forget to realize there's so much more of the gift for us to enjoy. Or sometimes, and I know you've probably seen, or maybe you remember you doing it that way yourself, but sometimes a child can kind of dig everything out of the stocking and then kind of say, that's it, and be looking for something more. And when sitting at their feet are all kinds of wonderful things that they can enjoy. And that's the thing with our salvation, that there's so many wonderful things within it that the Lord has given us. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Yet if we don't do anything with them, if we overlook what is precious and of tremendous value, we miss out so much. It's kind of like forgetting the toy and playing with the box. That it's, I think that there's so much as Christians that we realize that we can miss out of if we're not careful. And so it's the thing that we don't want to have it where we get an idea of all that God has in store for us, but never exercise ourselves in it, never make use of it. That we see how great the gift is, all that involves, and we want to keep opening it up. We want to use them. It isn't something that you don't want to, like a child doesn't get a whole bunch of toys and then sticks them up on the shelf just kind of look at. That a child gets them and plays with them. And that's the thing, is that it isn't somewhere where you hide a gift away for fear it'll get lost or broken, you never look at it. It's with our salvation, we know that the Lord made it, that it's not something that if we exercise ourselves in it, that some part of the truth of God's word is going to break or something under us and we're not going to be able to use it anymore. That we want to use it. We want to make the most of it. That it's not something that we want to just bring out once in a while. We want it to be more and more a part of our life. It would be like being given a sports car, but then keeping it under a tarp or under the garage and never driving it. That it would be a shame to do that. That it would be the same as, say, if a bachelor was given a housewarming party and people gave him all kinds of pots and pans and recipes and ingredients and everything so he can eat really well, and then he goes back to eating hot dogs and Kraft dinner, and that would be a shame. And that's the thing, is that we want to realize that there's so many things that is a part of our salvation, what the Lord has given us, and He wants us to use them. When we have trouble with life, whether it's being a parent or spouse we want to be, whether it's getting life and finances and other things under control, whether it's stopping a bad habit that we have, that what He has given to us through Christ is good for all of that. That the relationship that we have, that the Holy Spirit is within us, guiding us and helping us, that all those things are there for us, that we want to make full advantage of it, that this gift that we have been given, we want to appreciate the gift. We want to essentially dump the stocking out, open everything up, and make use of it. The more we do that, the more we'll appreciate it, the more we'll be motivated to seek it more deeply. And that's the thing, that as we get into it, if we really start to examine the scriptures, and we're blessed by it, and we see the truths of it, and we apply it to our lives, and we see it has power in our life, it makes a real difference, that it's something that it's such a blessing, because we know, of course, that we haven't gotten down to the bottom of it, that there's still more to find, that throughout our whole life, that we can go a certain distance in our Christian life and be satisfied and be happy, but then we realize, I still haven't reached the bottom of it. There's still more to find. There's still more joy to find in my relationship with the Lord. And we want to keep going. We want to keep digging. And so we see that with all of it. And it's so great a gift that it cannot be earned. It must be received by faith. It is so great a gift that it needs to be appreciated. And it's so great a gift that it ought to be shared. And I think we would recognize any time with a child when they receive a gift, it's a sad thing when they kind of hold it to themselves and they say they don't want anyone else to play with it. Sometimes they don't even want anyone else to look at it. I don't know if you've seen that with kids. It's like, no, you can't see it. It's mine. It's all mine. And it's a shame that, like with any kind of present, any kind of toy, you know that the kid will have a whole lot more fun if they share with someone else. That's where they really can enjoy themselves. If they're just kind of hoarding it, they're going to miss out on a lot of blessing. And that's the thing with the gift of God that He has given us, that is so great a gift that we can't keep it to ourselves, that we need to share it. I'm reminded of the story in 2 Kings chapter 7 of when there was this great siege of Samaria, that the armies were surrounding it, and there looked like there was no hope. And there was these few lepers that had kind of been kicked out of the gate because, of course, they didn't want them infecting the other people in the city. And they were starving because they didn't have any food. And they said, well, they won't let us back into the city. And if we go in the city, we're going to die. And if we stay here, we're going to die. And so let's go over to the camp of the enemy and see if they might throw us a few crumbs, see if they might bless us, see if they might be merciful to us. And the worst they can do, they could kill us. But the fact is that we're dead anyway, so we might as well give it a shot. And we see what happens. They came to the camp, and what had happened in that night that the Syrians had made a noise of a great host, and they were scared. They thought, oh, there's this army that the Israelites have hired against them, and so they all fled. And so the lepers came, and the camp was empty. And they're like, oh, wow. So they go into one tent, and they get all the food they can carry, all the stuff. They go and bury it, and they do that two or three times, but then they stop from it, and they said, this is verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 7. It says, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. And it was something they knew. We need to go tell somebody. And so they told the people and everyone that was starving there in the city that they even didn't believe them to start with, but they insisted, yes, it's true. And they sent people out to find it, and they found it to be true. And everyone, though they were starving, soon had more food than they knew what to do with. And that's the thing with the gift that God has given us. It is such a great gift, the gift of His salvation, that we don't want to hold our peace. That we know that we weren't special, we weren't anyone special to deserve it, we were as undeserving as anyone else is. But the greatness of the gift is available to all. And we realize if it's this good, I want to share it, I need to share it. And the struggle is we don't know how, that we don't know what words to say. We don't know how to bring it across. But I think we realize as well from the scriptures that the ability even to be a witness is part of the package of that gift that He's given us. That He said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That He wants to help us with it. It's part of the gift that He's given so that we can have the ability to share with other people. And so we want to do that. We want to tell people somehow that we remember what it was like when we first got saved, and we wanted to share with everyone we knew. And in some way, we want to get back to that. We need to get back to that so that people will be blessed by His Word. And so may the Lord help us in this, that with all these things that we realize how great the gift is that God has given, that we realize that it is not of works, it's nothing that we can earn, it's too great for that, it is received by faith. It's something that we don't just take it and then just kind of get what we want out of it and that's it, but instead that we appreciate it, we value it, we make the most of all that we have been given, and then also that we learn to share it with others so that they too can enjoy the blessings of the greatness of the gift in their life as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for Your unspeakable gift that You have given unto us, Lord. Your great mercy and grace beyond anything we ever deserve. Pray, Lord, that with each of us here, Lord, that we will have received this gift by faith, Lord, that we have made that decision to trust you as Savior. Lord, we pray for all of us that have made that decision, Lord, that we would truly appreciate the gift that you have given unto us, that we would truly use it and be blessed by it in all of it, and that we would taste and see how great it is, Lord, that what you have done. And Lord, we just pray you would help us to share your word, share this gift. Lord, we know we should. We don't want to just keep it to ourselves, but we find it hard, and we just pray you would empower us, Lord, by your Spirit, that we can tell others, that we can just simply give it unto them and just trust that you would look after the details, Lord, of drawing them to yourself and bring them to a saving knowledge of you. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's close with one more hymn, number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness.